what will you? Pat, pat, search, find the direction. It's all about love. Yes, it is. Sweet love and affection. I'll put your name.
I wanna know who was that message is for. Might be for me. I'm thanking God for it. It's on my heart. So we're gonna sing it for you.
Remember, you can listen to WRCT online. Live streaming available at www.wrct.org. WRCT Pittsburgh. You have no excuse not to listen.
RCT. Rockers! Rockers!
Thank you. Jah station. You somebody know where you can show up.
Give it up for Addis Pablo. Big up my brother.
Just to let you know I have feelings for you, thinking of you, not lying to you.
Yes, getting started with some original rockers here on the program today. And we went to the archives and brought you forward. Yes, indeed. Come My Way from Abba Rossi. Also, Addis Pablo live with the Roots, King Tubby meets Rockers Uptown, and the original King Tubby meets Rockers Uptown from Augustus Pablo. You're listening to The H Dread Show, WRCT. Let's go!
Let your sun shine, shine. Let the music play. Don't you let no fool rain on your
se banhar, comer e começar a caminhar ou pegar o busão para seu trabalho. E quanto tempo até começar a trabalhar e ainda ter que escutar seu chefe reclamar que você chegou atrasado. E para mim é pouco tempo pra reclamar, pra comer e o busão esperar e ainda ter que explicar que ele chegou atrasado. E o que eu faço com o tempo que me resta? Vou me imaginar na natureza. Você acha normal um cara com 60 anos fica até as 9 da noite fazendo hora extra? E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse. E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse. Será errado já? Eu preciso de mais tempo para pensar, refletir, escolher. Dizem que é preguiça, mas é que eu tô com tempo. Porque a pressa, porque está correndo, a caminhada é longa e eu vou com o vento. Mas agora calma, a gente tá só no começo. E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse. E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse. É, meu povo, a gente tá sem tempo pra nada mesmo, né? Nem pra namorar ou a mãe visitar. É tudo na correria, fim de semana é só 2 dias. Um, pra casa limpar e dormir. Outro, pra ver a família e talvez curtir. E pra quem tem sorte, são 5 dias, mas o resto é só trabalhar, trabalhar, trabalhar. E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse. E pode crer, eu vou tocar um reggae pra você. Eu vou cantar um reggae, por favor, que ninguém me apresse.
That you can't miss, that you can't miss. Same thing I got a yard and fairy light a tea full up the shaker. Just beat up a cup of porridge. Now me a bill up a Smith. What put flim on it? Can't find me lighter. Could I want this? What me light on day? 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 Me want it. Pass me the strike and the charge it. Come round attack, you have a plan. With me lighter in your hand. Try go off and we not the same thing. How the world will complaining. If you touch me off, we keep blessing. Don't teach me a plating. When me light on it. When me light on it. Light if you flame, how me feel like the trees. No matter make me no light, they please. When they can find my light, me green. You think you did get way? Beg a light, start chat and step way. When me like me, someone you better stop there. Me not care where you are, you upset. When me light on there. When me light on there.
Yes, 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 yes. More music to come your way. Of course, we have our list as we talk about what you were listening to. The set started off after our Augustus Pablo set with Sunshine. Yeah, Sunshine from with I Am Tongi. Also Joe and Derek Sound with their music new out. Also Yanis Odua, Lighter. Also Natty featuring Little Roy and the Rostites. Hurt for the Earth, very beautiful song, telling us that we must take care of all. Moving right along.
Selfish one, because I said, try to change away. So it's nice to meet you. Bunny Brissette.
Yes.
Is that your correct name?
My real name is Albania.
That's what I thought it was, but you go by the name Bunny.
Yeah.
So could you tell us where you were born?
I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And how is it that you're involved in that case with the music of Jamaica?
Because my parents were Jamaican.
Ah, that's right. Okay. So that is the connection with Jamaica. And as we were saying just before the interview, you first started getting into arts through photography.
Yeah. I was a photographer before, and I worked for Jazz Magazine and Jazz Hut.
Okay.
And when I heard Israel Vibration, I was like, I want to sing with them.
So it was Israel Vibration that got you really interested into reggae music from the start?
No, because Augustus Pablo first produced me.
Right.
And I worked with him for years. He did all my first recordings.
Yeah, that's what I was, when I was looking into your career, maybe you can correct me on this, but the first musical credit you get is with the Fabiano Orchestra.
Oh, right.
Is that because it's stated as jazz reggae? Would that be an accurate description?
Yes, I met them in Paris when I was a photographer.
Oh, so it's actually a French band, and you were singing with them.
Yes.
Okay, and you did one album. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So yeah, going on to Augustus Pablo, your first single, it would seem, is Better Safe Than Sorry. Came out in 1981. Was that a hit?
Yeah, it was pretty popular.
Okay, and how did that come about? How did that idea to record a song with Augustus Pablo come about?
Well, I was his neighbor, and he heard me sing. I was taking pictures of him, and of him and his some of the people he records with, and I was just singing like along with some of the people that he was recording. And he's like, "Yeah, he's a singer," and I was like, "A little bit," and he said, "I would like to hear you sing." And then he heard me sing, and he took me to the studio, and then we did Better Safe Than Sorry.
Okay, so what studio was that? Do you remember?
Some studio in Jamaica.
Okay. Would that have been perhaps Channel 1?
Oh, it was Channel 1.
It was Channel 1. I thought it might be, but...
It was.
Okay, and do you remember who the musicians were?
It was mostly people in Pablo's band.
Okay. And did he have a band that he worked with regularly, or was it sort of session musicians?
Yeah, session musicians.
Okay, so the people who were available would work with him?
Yeah, it was just people that worked at Channel 1.
Okay.
And I just...
So what? I don't know if in those days they were called the Revolutionaries, but there was in the late 70s, a studio band for the Channel 1 studio was sometimes called the Revolutionaries.
Yeah, it was different people. His friends.
And so, yeah, that first single came across very strongly, and it has in fact become, you know, a collector's item.
Oh,
and,
I didn't even know.
You didn't know?
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, until it was reissued a few years ago by a French label, it was, you know, selling for literally hundreds of dollars.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really a sought-after piece of plastic. And I wanted to ask about the reissue. Did that go through the Pablo family or the Pablo estate, or did they contact you?
Yeah, it was through Pablo.
Do you get, what do you call it, royalties?
Yes, I do.
Oh, that's lovely. So Augustus Pablo took care of you in terms of business.
He showed me how to, you know, publish my music and do things like that.
In Jamaica, there's so many stories of artists, you know, not getting their publishing, their royalties and all these things. So it's really nice to hear that for a change, an artist who worked and had a successful song has actually been credited. And
that's one of the first things he did, right? Once I did the Better Safe Than Sorry, and he made all of his artists, you know, get their publishing through Sassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who were some of these artists who were working at the time when you were doing the photography with Pablo? Was that like Delroy Williams?
Mm-hmm.
Juno Delgado.
Yep.
Ah, okay. any others that you remember from that time?
Well, I started working with the Congos too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So were they collaborating with Pablo at all?
No, they had different management.
Okay. And was this around the same sort of time, early 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw that later on you did an album with Ashanti Roy.
Yes.
And did a couple of singles also that were released with Ashanti Roy.
Right.
So was that like because you connected with them when working around?
Because Cedric couldn't come to, he was like banned from the United States, he couldn't come back.
Oh, right.
So they needed a lead singer, and they asked me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I heard that there was some sort of legal trouble with him at some point in the US, but I didn't realize that that's what had actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay, after Better Safe Than Sorry, you did a couple of singles the next year with Pablo, Selfish One.
Yeah.
Actually, that was the one with Pablo, and there's a different one. How were those received?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the next question was about the other single that came out in 82, which was produced by Chinna, which was Don't Cry.
Oh, right. I forgot all about that one.
You'd forgotten about it. Yeah, well, I mentioned it because it is another song that is actually quite sought after.
Oh.
Not quite as much as Better Safe Than Sorry, but it's still up there in the collector's realm of records that they're looking for. And how did that come about, working with Chinna?
Really good, because Chinna was friends with everybody. And he produced a lot of people that Pablo worked with.
Okay.
So that's how we all got. It was like one big family in Jamaica.
And so you were living in Jamaica at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What influenced you, what made you decide to leave Pittsburgh and go over to Jamaica?
Oh, because my family was from Jamaica.
Right.
And so then I started wearing dreadlocks, and my dad told me, well, you should go to Jamaica because...
That's where,
you know.
That's where it's happening.
But he told me that when you're there, a lot of people don't like dreads. And I didn't know that, you know.
And so how did you find... I mean, had you been as a child on holiday, things like that?
No.
Or was that the first time you
actually... Yeah, it was the first I went there.
Oh.
The first I lived in Dominica.
Oh, all right.
But I didn't know they had a thing called the Dread Act.
Yeah.
And... I went there on a ship from Guadeloupe, because I lived in Guadeloupe, and they locked me up because it was a dread act.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. How long were you locked up for?
For like 5 days.
Wow.
And they combed out my locks.
They combed them out?
Yeah.
They didn't trim them, though?
Well, they just combed them out. But when I got back to Jamaica, you know, people were saying, what happened?
Wow.
And I told them, and nobody really knew, believed that there was such a thing as a dread act.
I mean, I had vaguely heard about it, but I did not realize that they were locking dreadlocks up in Dominica, and this is like the late 70s?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so in Jamaica, I mean, how were you received as a sort of, originally a Jamaican, but someone from America,
really
coming
good.
With dreadlocks?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You didn't feel any of that societal disapproval?
No, they were really friendly. It was really good.
Okay, that's a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you started to record, I don't know if it was so obvious then, but I mean, Jamaica was kind of in the midst of a change, musically speaking, and the music that people like Pablo were continue to make was actually slightly different than the stuff that was, you know, playing in the dance halls, and that was really the new stuff like the Yellow Mans and things
right,
like that.
Right.
And would you say that was something that Pablo deliberately, you know, kept on a certain track, or that it was he was trying to make hits for the dancehall, and how do you remember his approach?
Well, like all of his artists, he really helped us all.
Okay.
And then, because, like, when I went back to the States, the Congos, Cedric couldn't enter the States.
Yeah.
And so the Congos asked me to sing the lead for them.
So what year was this when you started to sing with the Congos?
That was probably like in the late
80s. Late 80s, yeah. Because I noticed that in your timeline of records, there are like little breaks. For instance, after 1982, there weren't any singles released. for two or three years, mm-hmm. and then you came back with stuff that seems to be on your own label. Is that the case?
Yes, because Pablo made us all get our own labels. He was really good.
Okay, so the tracks that I found were Come On Now, Nonstop, and perhaps this is your label. I wasn't able to ascertain, but is Amoeba one of your labels?
No.
No? Okay, because two tracks appeared on it, Yes I Do, and a song called Tonight with Ashanti Roy.
Oh, right. So, because I was singing with the Congos.
Right.
And when I would sing with them, they made me open up with my songs.
Okay.
This was great. Three songs I would sing.
And your own label, I mean, what was the process of creating a label? And did you have to, like, take care of all the admin and pressing the records and all that stuff?
No, Pablo did most of that, but he made me, join SACIM, so I would get all the, credits and everything.
So basically he was giving you ownership of the stuff that you were recording within his camp, as such. Okay, and your experience with the Congos, would you say that it was like something that you, that helped you to progress musically speaking?
Yeah.
Is that?
I never expected to be able to open up.
Yeah.
And they would make me sing three songs of my own up front. And then I would sing Cedric's part because he couldn't travel.
And were you, when you were doing music prior to working with the Congos, were you doing live concerts at all, or was it mostly studio work?
I did live concerts because in Guadeloupe I worked with a Guadeloupe drummer.
Okay.
And he needed a singer.
Okay. And in terms of reggae, I mean, that was like the touring started basically on a wider level with the Congos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what I noticed is that in 1988 you did a few songs again with on Pablo's label. Mm-hmm. He changed it from, I think it was, well, changed the design. It was still Message, the actual thing. But it was What a Confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was next year was Babylon Falling.
Mm-hmm.
Now the music had changed a bit. Pablo was doing stuff in digital style, with like computer made rhythms. Did you like those kind of new styles of rhythms that were kind of in keeping with the times? Or?
I did.
Yeah, I did. You're kind of versatile when it comes to the music, because. And why I ask the question is that, here in France particularly, you have kind of, you tend to have camps, people who are the roots people and the digital people and and the dub people and all that sort of stuff. I mean, me personally, I kind of like a lot of various stuff. I used to be like that. I used to say, anything after 1982, I don't listen to. But I kind of, after a while, I heard the songs that I loved after those times, and I had to give up that kind of partiality. But as an artist, it didn't make much of a difference to you, as long as you felt the.
Right, because I lived in Guadeloupe, so I was working with a group from Guadeloupe.
Okay.
And they did jazz and reggae.
So you were already pretty versatile in terms of different styles that you were interested in. I also found that you used to do harmonies for various groups in studios. For instance, you were on. Juno Delgado's One Step More LP, you're credited with the harmonies on that. And what was it like working with Juno Delgado?
It's kind of rough.
Yeah, in what sense?
Well, he was hard to get along with.
He was he had a strong character.
Yeah, but one time I was on tour, and I think it was with Prince Lincoln. I don't know if you have Prince Lincoln. And whenever we toured in Europe, it was harmony. But when we reached the White Cliffs of Dover, he disappeared.
Oh, really?
And it was myself and Jennifer Lara and drumming.
From us what?
Cleavey.
Oh, okay.
And so we got stuck in England for like 2 years.
Stuck, really?
Yeah, we didn't have any money, we were stuck.
Wow.
So while I was there, Dennis Brown and Junior Delgado were there. So anytime Dennis Brown knew that we were stuck. So anytime he would need harmonies, he would use myself and Jennifer Lauren.
Oh, really? So what years would this be? Do you remember?
I don't. Early 80s.
Early 80s?
Yeah.
Wow. So you'd have been working with the Deb label, Dennis Emmanuel Brown label. And so all the stuff that he was making in England, and perhaps you were also working with some of the groups he produced, like 15, 16 and 17, you remember those groups, the sort of lovers rock type stuff?
But anything he would do, he would ask me and Jennifer Lara to work with so we could get back to Jamaica. And it took us 2 years.
So what was your how did you finding them? Is that the first time you'd been?
Yeah, it was nice. I liked it.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's the more or less the sort of the time I was born in England. And it was a time where reggae was really popular. It was really popular, and there was a big Jamaican community and West Indian community that was supporting it. So I think you probably reached in one of the best times for a reggae artist.
Because, I mean, without Dennis Brown and Jimmy Delgado, we would have been stuck there forever.
It's interesting you mentioned Dennis Brown, because I've been doing some research on him for one of the future issues. What are your recollections of working with Dennis Brown and him as a person, generally speaking?
Very kind, very nice person, easy to get along with.
Yeah.
Kind.
I think that every single person that speaks about Dennis Brown says the first thing they say about him is what a nice guy he was.
Yeah, he was.
And, you know, just, I think nobody has a bad word to say about him.
He was the best.
And so did you sometimes work with him on live shows and things like that?
No, just on recordings.
Just on recording. Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you remember any things that you did, any songs that you worked on with Dennis Brown?
I don't.
Hopefully we'll in the future we'll find some of them and
let me know.
Jog your memory. Yeah. After the late 80s, you know, when you were working on that album with Junior De Leon, you also worked on an album with Mikey Dread called Pave the Way.
Oh,
you remember
that? Because when I moved to Jamaica, I lived in Portland, and he was from Portland.
Right.
And that's how we kind of met. And then he got me singing on him. And plus, he was in England. He went to England, too.
Yeah.
And that's how we
connected.
Him and Siaji Roy from the Congos were best friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. And I got to work with him.
And did you, how did that, that process go? Was he somebody who was a bit easier to work with?
Perhaps? Yeah, he was great.
He seemed very friendly from the outside, not having met him at all, but I mean, he seemed like a, you know, an energetic, kind of lively kind of guy.
Very nice.
All right.
Kind.
Excellent. Following that, there was a song that came out for you called Mirror Mirror. You remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
And it came out on the Dede label, which was in the States. So I guess by then you were back in America?
Right.
So after England, you spent some time in Jamaica, then returned?
Moved back, yes.
And in America, did you continue to work within the reggae, generally speaking?
Yes.
Because I saw some collaborations, which were interesting, notably with General Trees.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you had like three songs with him, I think.
Yeah, he was easy to work with, too.
And when you worked with him, was when he was at the height of his popularity.
Right.
He was hit maker in Jamaica. And were those songs made in America or in Jamaica?
Originally in Jamaica.
Oh, okay. But released in the States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. And General Trees, you still in touch with him?
Not really.
You haven't been to Jamaica for a while, perhaps?
Yeah, for a while.
Okay. Another song I wanted to really ask you about was One Day, which came out in 1994 on Pablo's label. Do you remember that song?
Mm-hmm.
On the B-side, there was a DJ called Black Ati. Do you remember anything about Black Ati?
No, I don't.
It's interesting because Black Ati is like a Pablo DJ in the sense that he doesn't seem to have recorded for anyone else. And he's kind of an obscure DJ, but nobody seems to know that much about him. Even yourself.
Right.
So when he didn't record at the same time as you, or
no.
It just so happened that you use the same rhythm, and he put it on the
scene.
Okay, well, the mystery will go on in that case. So there are a few more, a general question that I wanted to ask. As I told you, I've been working on the on Reggae Queens more generally. And what is your experience of the music industry as a woman? Do you find it easy? Have you found that there are problems, obstacles that you've had to face?
Not
due to
really.
Being a woman?
No.
Not really? Well, that's great. I mean, it's great to have that because sometimes women will say that they've been held back, or for instance, you were just talking earlier about working with Marcia Griffiths,
mm-hmm.
and she mentioned that when she was working at Studio One, Bob Andy would really take care of her and make sure that she wasn't troubled by people who, with bad intentions.
That's how Pablo was too.
Yeah, he was. He would make sure that people were correct with
him. Yeah, all his artists.
Well, that's perhaps the reason you had such a great experience.
Right.
Pablo has continued to work right throughout the 90s. Did you always stay in touch with him? Were you kept you
he's
kept
like a, family?
Yeah, like family.
Yeah.
And that, and so you met him just being his neighbor, and eventually became an artist and then a friend.
Yeah, because I was taking pictures of one of his artists.
Okay.
And I was just humming along.
Yeah.
And he's like.